ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 वर्स 51 एंड 52 विल रिसाइट 51 टुगेदर। ततो भक्तिर भगवती पुत्री भूते जनार्दने दंपत्योर नितरामासीद गोप गोपीशु भारत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन देर आफ्टर महाराज परीक्षित बेस्ट ऑफ द भारतस व्हेन द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड बिकेम द सन ऑफ नंद महाराज एंड यशोदा दे मेंटेन्ड कंटिन्यूअस अनस्वरिंग डिवोशनल लव इन पेरेंटल अफेक्शन एंड इन देयर एसोसिएशन all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and the gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Purport. Although when the Supreme Personality of Godhead stole the butter, curd and milk of the neighboring gopas and gopis, this teasing superficially seemed troublesome. In fact, it was an exchange of affection in the ecstasy of devotional service. The more the gopas and gopis exchanged feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. Sometimes we may superficially see that a devotee is in difficulty because of being engaged in devotional service, but the fact is different. When a devotee suffers for Krishna, that suffering is transcendental enjoyment. Unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. When Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda increase their devotional affection, but those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. Om Ajnanadimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Translation once again. Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love and parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and the gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Hare Krishna. So, generally, a bhakti in this world is considered to be some kind of feelings. Bhakti is connected to some kind of feelings that people feel. And it was Srila Prabhupada who revolutionized this concept, and he translated bhakti as devotional service. Bhakti means active devotional service. But it's interesting that in this particular purport, Prabhupada says, the more the gopas and gopis exchange feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. So here he is giving the connection that the more the gopas and gopis exchange feelings with the Lord, the more they could increase their devotional service. So he's directly pointing to the fact that even though bhakti is devotional service, feelings are an integral part of bhakti. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, in one of his articles, he brings out this point very nicely. He says that feelings, they are the root, and from that root of feelings, the flowers of service can blossom. And then he says, paradoxically, from the root of service, the flowers of feelings can blossom. So both of them help each other. It's a cyclic cause and effect phenomena. The more we have feelings, the more we can perform service. And the more we perform service, the more we develop feelings for the Lord. Now, during the performance of this devotional service, unless we have feelings, actually there is no substance. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he gives an analogy. He says that when we are performing any service, or when we are praying, or when we are chanting, when we are performing any devotional activity, we can take more specifically hearing, more specifically prayers and chanting of the holy names. It's like we are sending a letter to the Lord, a message to the Lord. Or even if you call it service, now we are delivering some service to the Lord. And when you are delivering something, there is an envelope, and on the envelope, you got an address. So most people in this world, the address on the envelope is wrong. Now, that means the service that is being rendered, or the prayer that is being offered, that is not directed to the right person. So to get the address right is very important. That means the address should be directed toward the Supreme Personality of God. But then, when the letter is delivered, but inside the envelope there is nothing, then what is the use? Once the letter reaches, then the envelope goes to the garbage, and the contents are all that is important. So the feelings that we put into our service, the feelings that we put into our daily practices of sadhana, that is the content within that envelope. And without that content, the delivery, the parcel, or the letter is incomplete. So feelings are such an important aspect of devotional service from this perspective. Now, for there to be feelings, there has to be faith. For example, when you are directing a feeling towards someone, at least we should have that faith that that person exists. That is most important. So unless we have faith that the person exists, then we cannot express our feelings. And then the faith should be there that the person is accepting our feelings. And that is understanding our feelings. And is wanting to reciprocate with our feelings. Unless we have faith in all these things, then we cannot express feelings. For us to wholeheartedly express our feelings towards someone, any person, these things are important. That the person exists, that the person is receiving our feelings, is accepting our feelings, is wanting to reciprocate with our feelings. So this faith is important. So unless we have faith that the Supreme Lord is accepting our feelings and is understanding our feelings, we cannot progress in the path of bhakti. Because preliminary to bhakti is feelings, and feelings can come from faith. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, in this particular lecture, he was making this point that faith, how we can develop faith, this faith. So he said that faith comes in the association of devotees, especially by the process of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. Especially the process of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, one can develop faith. He was quoting Prabhupada. And then, we develop faith by doing whatever is favorable for the development of faith and rejecting whatever is unfavorable. So in this way, when we develop our faith, then we can develop our feelings. And when we perform our devotional service with feelings, then that is truly satisfying to the Lord. Now if we analyze this aspect of feelings,
It is the necessity of every living entity to express one's feelings towards someone or somebody. And bhakti, the beauty of the process of devotional service is, it fulfills the innermost need of the soul. And when we forget that the innermost necessities of the soul can be satisfied by Krishna and Krishna alone, we turn to the objects or people of this world. So these feelings, if we don't direct it towards Krishna, we have to direct it towards someone. That's a need of every living entity. Suppose if we are in distress and if we find someone who can simply understand what we are feeling, half of our distress is gone. So the need for someone to be able to understand our feelings is preliminary for every living entity. So we're all seeking someone who can, first of all, understand our feelings and then reciprocate with our feelings. But the fact is, only the Supreme Lord can completely understand our feelings, first of all, and only He can completely reciprocate with our feelings. In the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Lord as Vivikta Adhyatma Darshinaha. Vivikta means without a doubt. Adhyatma refers to the mind, and Darshina, to be able to see. So the Supreme Lord, Vivikta Adhyatma Darshina, He can see our mind without a doubt. He can completely understand the feelings that is going on within our mind. He and only He. Any other person or any other living entity in this world, if someone is able to understand our feelings, we are fortunate. But most of the time, that's not the case. Even amongst close relationships in this world, so many misunderstandings happen. Our feelings are misunderstood and we are not completely understood. And when that happens, it is the most painful experience for the living entity. And in one sense, we are living in a world where there is padam padam yad vipadam. That means at every step, there is a danger of being misunderstood. And oftentimes, we find ourselves in a situation that we are always in constant anxiety. That I'll be misunderstood, I'll be misunderstood, I'll be misunderstood. That's the inevitable reality of life, that we are being misunderstood at every step. And there is a danger of being misunderstood. Even amongst great souls, you know, once in a relationship seminar, Govind Prabhu was making this point. Then Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York City in the early days, he was writing letters to his godbrothers asking for help. And he was repeatedly writing to Keshav Maharaj, his sannyas guru. And he was not receiving any help. So from what was going on in India at that time, Keshav Maharaj was sick. And letters from Prabhupada was coming from the West, seeking help. And these devotees, Keshav Maharaj's disciples, they were replying to Srila Prabhupada that how Keshav Maharaj is sick. But somehow, Prabhupada was changing his addresses every now and then, and none of these letters actually reached him. So Prabhupada was feeling that he was not receiving help, but on this side, the group here, the devotees in the Gaudiya Math, they are feeling that we are writing letters repeatedly to Prabhupada saying how Keshav Maharaj is sick, and again he is simply asking for help for his Western preaching. What kind of a devotee is he? So the point is, even the Paramahamsa can be misunderstood. So to be misunderstood is an inevitable reality of life in this material world. But as long as we have faith that we have one person who can completely understand our feelings, can completely understand our emotions without a doubt, that is actual relief. That is shelter for the living entity. Shelter for the soul. And unless a living entity finds that shelter, he cannot be happy. The shelter that the Supreme Lord, the world might misunderstand me, but the Supreme Lord is there, who is able to completely understand my feelings. If you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a recurring theme. Maharaj Parikshit, a big misunderstanding. Now he put the snake again on the shoulders of Shamikrishi, and he was heavily misunderstood by Sringi. But Maharaj Parikshit, he understood that the Lord is a person to whom I have to turn to. He had complete faith in the Lord's shelter. So he said, Tamopayatam Pratyantu Vipra Ganga Cha Devi Dhridachittamishe Dijopashrishtas Kuhakas Takshokova Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnugata. So he said that may that Takshaka bird or whatever it might be, let it come. But let me continue hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in one sense, he expressed his indifference to being misunderstood in this world. Of course, we should try our best not to be misunderstood. We should try our best not to be misunderstood and not to misunderstand. That should be there always. But at the same time, the reality of life is we cannot escape from being misunderstood. And as long as we don't develop faith that Krishna can completely understand our feelings and can never misunderstand us, we might end up becoming psychic cases, because we are always thinking, I'll be misunderstood here, I'll be misunderstood there. How much can we save ourselves from being misunderstood? Yeah, that is the reality of life. We should try our best not to be misunderstood. We should act in such a way that we are not misunderstood. And we should try our best not to misunderstand. But at the same time, it's an inescapable phenomena. So the Supreme Lord is the only shelter. As we proceed further in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the case of Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj, he just smiled in appreciation that Lord Shiva is speaking about renunciation with Mother Parvati on his lap. And he was immediately misunderstood by another devotee, that is Parvati. And Parvati cursed him to become a demon. And he took it in the right spirit again. Why? Because again, he had complete faith in the Supreme Lord, that the Supreme Lord knows me and knows my feelings, if we see it from this perspective. And Lord Shiva later on expresses his wonder to Mother Parvati. Just see how the devotees of the Supreme Lord are. And Prabhupada, in that particular purport, he makes this point that how if we constantly chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, we can be always above distress of this world. Then when we proceed further in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the story of Maharaj Indradyumna. He was wrapped in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think Agastya Muni enters. And he is immediately misunderstood. And he is immediately cursed. And we are fortunate that in Kali Yuga nobody has such powers. Otherwise, it would be very difficult. The frequency of misunderstanding is also more in Kali Yuga. And if the cursing frequency also increases, life becomes intolerable. So he was immediately cursed. But he had faith. And the same faith rescued him when he was Gajendra. As Gajendra, he had not practiced devotional service. But the faith that he had as Indradyumna Maharaj, that was revived when he was caught by the crocodile. And as an elephant, he had faith that in this precarious situation, the Supreme Lord will help me. And he took a lotus flower in his hand and offered it to the sky with complete faith that the Lord is listening to my prayers. He will come to protect me. He is there everywhere. If we see the prayers of Gajendra, he's speaking about how the Lord is present everywhere. And because he's present everywhere, he can listen to our prayers. And he responds to our prayers. And he can protect us. So he had that faith. And that is what was his saving grace. So the saving grace of our life, of our devotional service or devotional career is to have that faith that Krishna knows our feelings. He can completely understand our feelings, whatever the external circumstances might be. And the beauty of the Supreme Lord is, not only does he understand our feelings perfectly, but he can perfectly reciprocate with those feelings. In this world, even if someone manages to understand our feelings, that is very rare. That is very rare. Because many times, that's the problem, even with the Mumbai police. If something happens, if an accident takes place right in front of you, people don't want to render any help. Because even if you have the best intentions, I don't criticize Mumbai police, any police in general in India, the tendency is first to suspect the person who has helped. That is the nature of this world. You have the best feelings, but we are misunderstood for your best feelings also. So people feel, why to go through that painful experience? You know? Now, of course, if you are innocent, you'll get out of it. But the very endeavor of going through that feelings of being misunderstood, I actually wanted to help, but I was being misunderstood. That feeling is so painful that people restrain themselves. Okay, let it happen. So that is the problem with this world. So even if we find someone who completely understands us, we feel so happy. But even that is half the story. The Supreme Lord not only is able to completely understand our feelings, but he can perfectly reciprocate with our feelings also. We see that in a very classic way in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour to South India. In the Kurukshetra, there was a Brahmana called Vasudev who had leprosy. And Mahaprabhu met Kurma Brahman and then immediately left from that place. And Vasudev leper was late to reach that place. And he fell unconscious in lamentation. The Supreme Lord understood his feelings. And he went out of his way to come back to Kurukshetra simply to meet Vasudev leper. And he embraced Vasudev. And through that embrace, Vasudev became the reservoir of pure devotional service, and his physical body also became beautiful. When Bhakti Charu Maharaj was here, he gave a very interesting insight to this story. He was telling that when Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he met Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya after Lord Chaitanya had left from Jagannath Puri. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya told Maharaj Pratap Rudra that this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But Pratap Rudra, he accepted that, but still the complete acceptance that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead came when he heard Lord Chaitanya delivering Vasudev leper. Because only the Supreme Lord can have this opulence of Bhakta Vatsal to such an unlimited degree. The Lord's feelings for this devotee is unlimited. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was making the point that there have been many saints who have delivered lepers, but Lord Chaitanya actually embraced Vasudev. Generally, people want to avoid bad sights, isn't it? In the railway platform, when beggars are sitting, people don't even want to look in that direction. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he had already left Kurukshetra. So even if he had not returned, no one was there to blame him. He couldn't be blamed. He just left Kurukshetra and missed Vasudev leper. So not only did Lord Chaitanya return to Kurukshetra to deliver Vasudev, he actually embraced him and cured him of his leprosy. So hearing of this reciprocation of the Lord with the feelings of his devotees, Maharaj Pratap Rudra was convinced that Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then we see how in Madurai, Lord Chaitanya saw a Brahmana who was lamenting that how could Mother Sita be touched by Ravan. So Lord Chaitanya, he traveled all the way from Madurai to Rameshwaram and brought the copy of the Kurma Puran just to pacify the feelings of this Brahmana devotee, and actually told him that actually Mother Sita wasn't touched by Ravana, and the Sita whom Ravana whom Ravana abducted was actually Maya Sita. One more instance where Lord Chaitanya actually went out of his way to reciprocate with the feelings of his devotee. And Lord Chaitanya didn't just reciprocate with the feeling of people. Those seven trees who had helped Lord Chaitanya when he had come as Lord Ram, the seven salt trees, Lord Chaitanya returned to that same place to reciprocate with them, embraced all of them and delivered all of them. And when Lord Chaitanya went to Srirangam, there was a huge kirtan of devotees. And during the recent Srirangam Yatra, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was elaborating on the point of how Lord Chaitanya was reciprocating with each and every devotee present in that kirtan. He was saying that when we see a crowd, it is simply a crowd for us. A lot of people, and we become bothered by that crowd many times. But Lord Chaitanya, when he sees a crowd, he doesn't simply see a crowd. He sees every individual, a devotee in that crowd, and he perfectly reciprocates with the feelings of each and every devotee in that crowd. And that is the real opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The real opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not that he has created so many universes, or he maintains so many universes, and he has got such mighty power. The real opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was making this point, is that He has got unlimited ability to reciprocate with the innermost feelings of each and every one of his devotees. That is the real opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was telling that even in this world, it is the same case. Even when we are in the spiritual world, this fact is obvious, that the Supreme Lord is reciprocating with the feeling of each and every devotee. It is said that when Krishna sits in the center of the circle on the banks of the Yamuna, surrounded by his covered boyfriends, so when someone is sitting at a higher level, he is easy to notice. But when everyone is sitting on the same platform, and if there are people sitting in between us and that person, we have to go out of the way, look up, and sneak here and there to look at that person. So when any coward boy wanted to see Krishna, he used to peep and see Krishna, and when he used to peep and, you know, stretch his neck to see Krishna, he would be shocked to see that even Krishna is stretching his neck to see him. So this is the beauty of Vrindavan. Each and every coward boy feels the same. That as desperate I am to see Krishna, Krishna is equally, if not more, desperate to see me. So the Brihad Bhagavatamrit, it speaks of how when Gopakumar went back to the spiritual world, Lord Krishna comes and embraces him. Both of them fall unconscious in great feelings. But the interesting point which I found was, Gopakumar comes back first and then Krishna comes back. That means the feelings of Krishna for Gopakumar are more overwhelming than Gopakumar towards Krishna. That's what I thought. So in this way we see that how the Supreme Lord, the way he reciprocates with the feelings of his devotees is extraordinary. He not only completely understands our feelings, he goes out of the way and is unparalleled in the way he reciprocates with the feelings of his devotees. And we need to do only one thing to tap this reservoir of all feelings, that is Lord Krishna, that is we develop faith. And as His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj expressed, faith is developed in the association of devotees, and he said especially hearing and chanting in the association of devotees and doing whatever is needful for the development of this faith. And the acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada, he did his best to retain the faith of his followers, because he had complete conviction that Krishna and only Krishna can completely satisfy the need of the soul. The need of the soul of being understood and the need of the soul of being loved. I'll end with one small incident from Prabhupada's early days, which His Holiness Devamrat Swami Maharaj has recently put on his blog. So he speaks about, in the early days, there were only 100 odd devotees in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and Prabhupada conducted most of the marriage ceremonies himself. And in the initial days, there was a couple called Subal Prabhu and Krishna Devi. So Prabhupada had sent them to Santa Fe to open a center there. So Devamrat Swami beautifully, he explains the scene at that time, that people didn't have much understanding of what is bhakti or what is the culture of bhakti and things like that. So most of the matajis, the ladies in the movement at that time, were always in constant anxiety and fear that their husbands would take sannyas and take a begging pot and go away. So they used to be in constant anxiety all the time. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to Krishna Devi that, don't worry, I won't tell your husband to take sannyas, he won't leave you, and things like that. But ironically, Krishna Devi ran with another man in this case. So then, for a Paramahamsa from Vrindavan, this was a mega culture shock. So Prabhupada was specifying, Prabhupada expressed his disgust. He said that I'm a sannyasi. What is my business, you know, fixing marriages together? But then, what to do? So he was pacifying Subal, telling that don't worry, she will come back. And she was, he was writing letters to Krishna Devi, saying that, you know, you have acted in a very wrong way. Even if you have a little bit of love for me or for Krishna, please return back immediately. There was no response from our side. So Devamrita Maharaj describes the shift. So in due course of time, Prabhupada wrote, when he saw that she was not coming back, he wrote a letter saying that, don't forget Krishna even for a moment. Always loudly chant Hare Krishna. You come back with your boyfriend Randy and chant Hare Krishna, no problem. And on this side, he started telling Subal that you continue chanting Hare Krishna. So the point is, he tried his best to put up the bad situation, because what happened was a wrong thing. But ultimately, Prabhupada, he had that conviction, he had that faith, and he wanted to give that faith to his followers that feelings towards living entities keep changing, but never forget Krishna. So that was the bottom line. Prabhupada wrote that, I love you at my heart. And that is the reason I gave you the name Krishna Dasi. So never forget Krishna for a moment and always chant Hare Krishna. Even though initially he was appealing for her love for him, later on he resorted to his love for her. Because ultimately the Acharya wants to see that the living entity shouldn't lose contact with the reservoir of all feelings, the reservoir of all rasas, that is Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.